Okay, so my name's Claire Pulfer, and I am here with the brilliant Kat Adlam, who is the head of service for Adult Therapy York at the Retreat Clinics. Hello, Kat.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for being here. It's really great to chat with you because we're all hearing everywhere nowadays about well-being. Mm. It's a really common subject, and it's really, really important, I think. And people often ask, you know, what actually is well-being? You know, we hear it, we see it. So it's brilliant to have you here to really kind of help us understand a little bit about what it is. So can you tell me, first of all, what's your role at the Retreat Clinics? What do you do?
Sure. Well, I'm head of service for adult psychological therapy. So I basically look after the team that we have in York of therapists that look after people that come for therapy. So we have quite a wide range of clinicians offering different sorts of therapy to work with adults across a whole range of issues. People of all kind of ages and backgrounds coming for short-term, long-term therapy, relationship therapy, individual therapy, family therapy. You know, we also can work with children and young people in another part of the service as well. That's me.
Lots going on. Yeah.
There is a lot going on, yeah.
But the thing is there's a lot going on in life, isn't there? So there's got
Absolutely.
To be lots of different things to talk about. And you use the word therapy a lot. Now, again, that's another word we hear a lot is therapy. And it can feel quite a heavy word. There can be a bit of a stigma to it. So, you know, can you sort of paint me a picture? You know, you see the typical thing of, you know, the person with a clipboard listening to you lying on the couch, you know, and it's just not like that, is it?
It's not, no. And in fact, you know, I've never really been able to find a picture for sort of websites and social media kind of stuff that we do that doesn't have a person with a clipboard. Unfortunately, that seems to have stuck, and I'm not sure quite why. But no, therapy is really just a safe space to talk about what's going on inside. And it might take a little bit of time for that sort of feeling of safety to really, really develop. But therapists are practiced and adept at, you know, helping people relax and be confident that there's no judgment going on. So really, it just is a conversation. And that conversation could happen in different ways. It might look a bit different if the client wants to work in quite a structured way that might feel most comfortable for them, to kind of really target on things that they want to talk about and not talk about things that they don't want to talk about. Or other people might want quite an exploratory and open sort of space to see where it goes. You know, we can be adaptable. But really, it's just about developing a connection with someone that you feel able to talk about yourself with and just think a bit more about what's going on inside, thoughts and feelings, and how those all kind of link up.
Yeah. So how do we know if therapy is something that could apply to us? So how would we know and think, you know, yes, this sounds like something that may be of use to me, that may help me? What's the kind of feeling that, you know, is there a feeling that you get, or how do we know if it's the right thing for us?
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of people wait until they're really, really struggling and they absolutely know that the feeling is bad. The feeling is, you know, I really need help. Or, you know, I'm exhausted with how long I've been struggling with these difficulties, thoughts or feelings or responses in certain situations. For some people, it goes back many, many years. So that's sort of a shame that it takes some people a long time to get to the point of giving themselves permission almost to think, maybe I could ask for help with this. And people struggle on their own a lot. And people feel a lot of worry and shame about asking for help, asking for therapy. What's it going to be like? How am I going to feel comfortable? Am I going to be judged? Where's it going to go? You know, where could this conversation go? What could we get into? And what other things that I'm not even aware of that I struggle with could come up, you know? So there's lots of worries about therapy that prevent people, I think, from asking for help when they're already struggling. But I suppose in terms of your actual question, which I might not have answered very directly, you know, when is that moment? Well, it'll be different for different people, but you might notice that the normal things that bring you pleasure in life aren't any longer kind of doing that, or there's so much going on inside, so much noise or mess inside that you feel kind of unable to concentrate, perhaps at work, or your relationships are really starting to see the strain of that. You're no longer kind of feeling able to sort of naturally or confidently be a parent in the way that you used to, or look after your own parents perhaps, or be engaged with your partner. So there's lots of different kind of telltale signs, I suppose. But yeah, the sooner the better, I suppose, you know.
Yeah. Do you think there's a, you know, we hear that the stigma around mental health and therapy and things like that, and talking about our own mental health. And do you think the stigma could be something that would prevent people from getting help if they needed it?
I think so, and maybe less so for younger people, because I do think there are signs of change and improvement. I think there's more accessible or visible kind of you know, role models in a way in film and TV and social media. More people are talking about their own experiences of struggling with their mental health, or struggling with their feelings, or certain addictions perhaps, or difficulties with eating, or self-harm. You know, a lot that can affect a lot of young people, and it's out there more now, and I think that helps. But social media can also be kind of a negative as well. It's got its bad points. I think it can put a lot of pressure on people. There's sort of that very tailored and perfect looking kind of Instagram life, and even well-being sort of tips and things around well-being can look very easy, whereas actually in practice, trying to look after ourselves and trying to put more things into practice to be kind to ourselves sometimes are not easy.
Yeah.
Especially when we're already not kind of feeling good.
Yeah. I mean, I know, for me, I'm on social media, and you see these life hacks, you know, when you go on TikTok or Instagram and you see these life hacks, and they just make everything look so easy. And then you look at my own life and I go, oh, this is just a mess. You know, I can't match this. So, you know, you do see that. And as you say, it's bringing it to the forefront. People are talking about it more. Do you think that's maybe why well-being and therapy and you know, our own mental health and keeping ourselves well mentally, do you think that's possibly why it's more talked about now than it was, say, 15, 20 years ago? Because it's a real kind of buzzword now, you know, well-being. And it wasn't back then. So what do you think the change is?
I don't know. I guess that in later years, I think the pandemic has brought it to the forefront of people's minds a bit. I think we all were feeling more anxious.
Absolutely.
With this virus going around, and with the effects of lockdown and having to be on our own a lot more. For some people that felt okay, and for others it really didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of focused the mind a bit, and especially for young people as well, who were out of education and out of school, what it was like for them to have to stay at home and not have the kind of social connections and access to normal education in the usual way.
Yeah.
We're a bit more aware of how that has, for the last few years, impacted on that generation of young people. But I think just as a culture, I like to think anyway, that we're developing in our understanding and our compassion for people who struggle, as we all do. I think we've got to remember, at different times of our lives, we all struggle with pain, mental pain, emotional pain. Life throws all sorts of things at us.
It does. It absolutely does.
And we're not in control of that. And we go through life stages and changes can stir up all sorts of things from prior experiences, and it can be difficult to adapt. So I think it's good that it's all a bit more fresh in our minds.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of, I mean, you've touched on a few subjects that people can go to therapy and explore therapy for, such as relationships and things like that. Would you say that anything goes? You know, if someone's listening to this right now thinking, I'm struggling with X, Y, Z, but they won't have therapy for that particular thing, you know, would you say that there is actually an open door for anyone, or is it you have to fit under a certain criteria?
No, absolutely. I think we work with a wide range of difficulties, and people sometimes present for very general kind of dissatisfaction and you know, general feelings of anxiety that come up for them in a lot of different situations, or feelings of low mood. But it can also be quite specific, or can be expressed in quite specific ways. But yeah, therapists have been helping people explore those difficulties and things that come up in relationships and things from the past and you know, painful things that have happened and losses and life changes. So there isn't a kind of set of things that we can or can't kind of address in therapy. And, you know, it can be a space to learn something about ourselves that we didn't know before. So, you know, it can be difficult to, get over that kind of stigma or worry about what's going to come up. But it can also be quite a nourishing or a kind of growth kind of a space, and you can learn things about yourself.
A journey.
Yeah.
Real journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If somebody's listening right now and thinking, this could be for me, not too sure where to start, not too sure if it is right for me, what would you say to that person to sort of encourage them to explore going down the therapy route?
Well, what we do, because we recognise it's quite a big step for someone to take, to ask for therapy or to start to, you know, explore that, and people aren't sure what they want or what they need, and they, you know, why should they be? They don't have to know what sort of therapy they need. So what we do is we just start with an initial meeting. We start with an initial consultation, we call it. And that's really just a space to meet the person, to listen, to give them a sense of what it's like to have that kind of conversation, to hear about what they want to work on, but also to hear about what they don't want to work on perhaps, or, you know, how often they want to meet, how much they're looking for in terms of what their resources are, you know, how long they want the therapy to be, what type of conversation do they want, something quite structured that might feel a little bit more targeted, or do they want to gain skills, or do they want that kind of open listening space to explore something perhaps that's gone on in the past. You know, it can really vary. So we want to meet that person and understand what they need and want, and really tailor the therapy to them and match them up, because I think that's the crucial thing, not necessarily always kind of what therapy you get, but is the person the right fit? Can be, well, I think the research actually shows that that's the most effective or most important kind of aspect, is that fit right? So that's the bit we really try and focus on at the beginning.
So it's not a one size fits all sort of thing. It's about really
absolutely.
So in terms of, you know, the fact that you offer these consultations, really there's no reason not to explore whether this is a journey that is worth going down and looking into.
There'd be no expectation, kind of no need to sign up for so many sessions or whatever. That's all a negotiable thing that it's right and proper to review as you're going throughout therapy. And it varies. Some people really want that open space longer term, and some people want to come and work on something and then leave and get on with their lives. Don't want to keep people in therapy forever.
No, so it's to complement, you know, the life and kind of make that person's life fuller and richer and, you know, take away any negativity that may be lingering. That sounds like it certainly applied to me in the past. And I think, you know, I speak very highly of therapy and how much it can help. People and you learn an awful lot about yourself.
Definitely.
It's very, very interesting. So for anyone listening to this right now that's thinking, yes, I want to do this, I'm going to give it a go, sign me up, how do they get involved with the retreat clinics?
Well, if they want to email, they could do that. They could just pick up the phone and call us, or have a look at our website, and we've got an inquiries form or an actual kind of I want to have therapy form. We call it a referral form. That sounds a bit kind of professional or something, but people can just fill that form in if they're ready, or a little small kind of inquiry form. But yeah, the number is 01904-412-551 if people want to just pick up the phone and find out. You don't have to kind of make a request for therapy there and then, but just to find out how it works. Perhaps.
Explore it. Yeah, because you're not with the NHS, are you? So it's not about waiting or going to the GP or getting this out. It's just about going straight in and saying, I want to get involved. I want to explore this route. Yeah. So you've got your phone. So yes, 01904 412 551. You've got email as well. So we've got inquiries with an E. inquiries@theretreatclinics.org.uk and then the website is theretreatclinics, all one word, .org.uk, and you can find out all about everything on there, can't you? There's all sorts of information.
Absolutely, and some people want that information and feel they can use that. Other people, you know, want to come in and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to do that as well.
Brilliant. Well, I say I can't speak highly enough of therapy and how it can help with well-being. Definitely, you know, no stigma at all. It's all about making life better, and that's what we want, isn't it? Yeah. So, Kat, thank you so much for coming in to chat with us.
You're welcome.
It's been very informative, and we will be speaking to you more and to hopefully some of your colleagues as well from the retreat clinics about. We're going to do a whole load of chats about how we can better our relationships and variable different subjects. So, thank you so much for coming in. Really, really great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you soon.
Great. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.